हरे कृष्ण गौर गौर श्याम कुंदर Vishnu Dutas, who are superior authorities, gave orders to the Yamadutas
Who did not know that Ashmael was no longer subject to tribulation and hellish life for his past sins? Although he had chanted the holy name Narayana to indicate his son, the holy name is so transcendentally powerful, he was automatically freed because he had chanted the holy name while dying. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Ye Shantanagatam Papam Chananam Punya Karmanam Te Pandvamoa Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Vrjavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the dualities of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Unless one is freed from all sinful reactions, one cannot be promoted to the platform of devotional service. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Antakale shamameva smaran mukha kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nastatra samsayaha. If one remembers Krishna Narayana at the time of death, one is certainly eligible to return immediately home back to Godhead. Text 14, one who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately free from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Report as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yam Bhavi Smaram Bhavam Tajadante Kalevram Tam Tame Vaidi Kontiya Sadatta Bhava Bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord when he meets with an accident and dies, he'll be saved from hellish life after death. Translation, at the time of death, his Ajmal helplessly, very loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Narayana. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of scriptures. One chants the holy name of the Lord and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. So, here, the same statement is made again by the Vishnudutas that anyone who chants the name of the Lord is free from unlimited sinful reactions. Ashesha aganishkritam. Unlimited sinful reactions are completely removed by the name of the Lord. So when one dies, one is supposed to go to get hellish punishment if one has done many sinful activities. In this case, the Yamadutas thought that it was natural that because he had been so sinful, he should go for hellish punishment. But the Vishnudutas have said, though, that though he is dying, he's chanted the name of the Lord, and he is free from all these reactions. Therefore, he can't be punished. Punishment is a result of these sinful actions, but he is free. And then they explain the different conditions. These conditions, of course, are not devotional conditions. One is called Sankhya, which means accidental indication or indication not directly. So, for instance, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan not to mean Vishnu but to mean his son. So it's called Sanket. And Parihasya, in a joking way, so one jokes and says the name of the Lord. Or Stoba, which can be some type of exclamation about the Supreme Lord, but also not intentional. And Hela, which means with disregard, almost with disrespect. So all of these names still have potency in them when there is extreme hatred of the Lord. Then that becomes aparad. But before the hostility to the Lord, real hostility to the Lord, we have these different types of chanting of the Lord's name, and they have some effect. So it says even these have the power to remove unlimited sins. So this was the case of Ajamil. He chanted without indicating the Lord. So he said Narayana, to indicate his son. So he got unlimited sinful reactions removed. So therefore, the Yamadutas couldn't punish him. He was free from any reaction. So this indicates the power of the name. Unlimited sins are removed even by accidental or inattentive chanting of the name of the Lord. Not just Krishna's name, but any name of the Lord. In this case, it's Narayan. So all the names of the Lord have this potency to destroy the effects of sin. And then it lists the different conditions under which one can chant the name, falling down and having broken bones, etc., being burned with fever, etc. In any case, if one chants the name of the Lord, then one is free from the reactions of hellish conditions. So this, of course, the chanting the name under accidents or whatever, this is not pure also. It may indicate the Lord, but at the same time, we're not chanting the Lord out of someone's name out of devotion, but simply to escape from pain or misery, etc. So at best, it is some sort of mixed devotion. Nevertheless, it has this power to remove the results of unlimited sinful reactions. So, therefore, we from this we can understand the power of chanting the name. Of course, chanting the name is one thing, but even without chanting the name, remembrance of the Lord also will cause destruction of sinful reactions, etc. So there are many types of bhakti which also work. So we'll see, for instance, in the nectar devotion, quotes from the Puranas to show that simply by putting the garland of the Lord around one's neck, one can be free from sinful reactions, etc. So there are many types of devotional service that can destroy sinful reactions. However, the chanting of the Lord's name is very powerful, and also it's very convenient, because nothing is required. So if one chants the name of the Lord, it has power. So this is chanting of the name without offense and accidentally, etc. It has this particular effect. If there is offense, it also has effect, but the effect is less. So it does not destroy all the sins immediately. But there is some effect of chanting with offense also. Of course, if the offense is very strong, then it may also, of course, have no effect. It depends on the strength of the offense, what type of offense there is. So depending on the gravity of the offense, different obstacles will occur. So the name, therefore, is illustrated as being very powerful, and devotional service in general very powerful to do this. So this story of Ajamil is very famous because it illustrates the fact that all sins are eradicated. Sutta chanted the name of the Lord even once. So, though he chanted at the time of death, actually, when he first named, when Ajamil first named his son Narayan and he chanted the name, even then, everything was destroyed. So that was the power of the name. So this is the statement of scripture. And if we somehow minimize this power of the name, then that is also considered an offense. To consider that the powers of the holy name are exaggeration. This is an offense to the name. It's one of the aparadhas. So we have to take these statements quite literally. And we will see in other places of Bhagavatam also similar statements are made. By chanting the name or remembering the lotus feet of the Lord even once, one destroys one's corrupt karmas of this lifetime, and one becomes qualified to do sacrifices like a brahmana, because one's karmas are all destroyed, even if one is a chandala or a dog eater. Or by having the name of the Lord on the tip of one's tongue, not even completely chanting, but once on the tip of the tongue, even without devotion, also namavas, then one has surpassed all purification activities, all the scriptures, etc. One has performed all of the acts that a Brahman would do for purification. So one is completely elevated by once chanting the name or half chanting the name of the Lord. So there are many statements in the Bhagavatam as well as other Puranas to show the power of the name of the Lord and of course the devotional service in general. So this is very effective because of the Supreme Lord. All of these processes of bhakti are invoke the presence of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is very pleased by these acts of devotion. So even if they're non-devotional in the sense that they're accidental, as in the case of Ajamil, still they have effect. That is their power. At the same time, we should understand that the effect is not exactly the same as chanting with devotion. So Namabhas has a certain power to it, and chanting with devotion has more power, obviously. So the power of this inattentive chanting is it destroys sins. The power of devotional chanting is it destroys sins, plus it produces bhakti and prema. And that is the difference. And therefore, chanting simply nama bhas is not enough to go to the spiritual world, because it doesn't give prema. It simply removes your sinful reactions, so you're qualified for liberation. So technically speaking, Ajamil, after he chanted his name, the name Narayan, because of his son, then he could get liberated. But he could not go to Vaikuntha. However, Ajamil was fortunate because after he was brought back to life, he did do bhakti in Hardwar, and then he developed prema, and then he went to the spiritual world. So, in other words, he graduated from Namabhas or Bhaktiabhas to pure bhakti later on. And then he achieved the Supreme Lord. So Namabhas is not sufficient to give us everything. It is one process by which we are purified of sins, but it will not be the final result. Therefore, one is recommended to go from Namabhas to Sudanam, pure chanting of the name with devotion. And then one can attain the goal. So even if one chants with devotion, one can still have namabhas, because namabhas is also caused by ignorance and by anarthas. So if we chant with ignorance, even if we have some devotion, that also creates namabhas, and therefore we can't get prema. So therefore we must get knowledge. And that is why we have scriptures to give us knowledge of the Supreme Lord and bhakti, etc. This will clear up the ignorance. And then we have anarthas of various sorts. so as long as those anarthas are there, they act as an obstacle as well. So we have to get rid of anarthas as well. So of course the process of bhakti itself will clear up these anarthas eventually. So therefore the qualification for bhakti, there is no qualification in the sense of status of life, ignorance, or anyone can start the process by this accidental way or whatever. But eventually we should come to the stage of serious bhakti, chanting purely and performing bhakti in a pure way. And this will give us the highest result. So bhakti also can be practiced at this stage, accidentally or whatnot, but it is not the final stage. This is not sufficient to give us everything. So the real process is to practice pure bhakti. So by the great mercy of the Supreme Lord, the Vishnu Dutas came, and by their association, Ajamil was inspired to take to the process of bhakti. So he got the association of the Vishnu Dutas, and because of that association, he began to practice bhakti, and then he developed that pure devotion and prema, and then he went to the spiritual world. So this type of namabhas, sankhya, parihas, etc., is not for devotees. This is for the people who are non-believers. This is how they can advance by this type of namabhas. Then when we become devotees, we should get rid of namabhas. We have faith, we should get rid of namabhas by getting knowledge. And by the serious practice of bhakti without material desires. And this way, we are guaranteed to get the perfection of prema and go to the spiritual world. Well, no, we can even Ajamil here, he was not liberated. He chanted, he got result. Of course, it's not the highest result. So people in all conditions can chant, and whether they're tamaguna, even the chandala can chant the name of the Lord and destroy all of his sinful reactions. So purity is not a qualification for starting bhakti. But, of course, in the performance of bhakti, all sinful reactions are destroyed, everything is, desires are destroyed, etc., through the process of bhakti.
Chanting the holy name is considered Yuga Dharma. Chanting the holy name is considered Yuga Dharma.
For Kali Yuga. No,
Sankirtan. In previous ages, we say.
No.
Like the Draupadi chanting.
Well, different yugas have different dharmas. So they're not. It's not the Yuga Dharma, only in Kali Yuga is the Yuga Dharma. If they don't? Well, if one is a devotee, even if one does not remember the Lord at the time of death, one may be in a coma or have an accident or something. It doesn't really matter, because whatever acts one has done throughout one's life, that also is included. So that's to one's credit. So it's not only the point of death that determines your next body, but everything you've done throughout your life and previous lifetimes as well. What is the root cause? Ignorance.
Maharaj, like chanting the name of devotee, like if anybody can, simple activities, like simple reaction. If somebody can Jesus or Maharaj, devotees, does it change anything?
Well, most of the angas of bhakti which apply to the Lord also are effective in the sense that they are when they're applied to devotees, because devotees represent the Lord. But we also should not separate the devotees from the Lord.
We know that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. We see that Nara Muni, Prahlad Bharat, they are chanting the names of Narayana. So in that sense, we know that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, but we know that Nara Muni and
they are all. Narayana is also supreme. He's also Bhagavan.
But that doesn't give them prema, only jhana.
Yeah, no. Prema for Narayana. Narada got prema for Narayana. Prahlada got prema also. So prema is for all forms of God. Well, because the devotee has faith, it's a little different. Ajamil does not have faith. So we have faith is better. Well, yes, the ultimate process of getting rid of all obstacles, including aparads and anartas, etc., is the process of bhakti because it's klesha gni. In the case of aparads, it is so that, that the only process is also bhakti, but in some cases it won't work because the aparad itself destroys devotion. So devotion is destroyed. There's no impetus to do bhakti. So one won't do it. So therefore one will not recover. So that is the problem with aparad. If it weakens bhakti to the extent you cannot, you have no faith, then you don't do bhakti. You do something else. So that is the problem with aparad. If it's not a severe aparad, of course, that may not destroy bhakti to that extent, then the recommendation is, yes, you have to perform bhakti. But, of course, it'll be a very weak type of bhakti, and therefore, it takes a long time. Just like with a serious illness, it takes a long time before you recover an appetite. And you have to take certain foods. If you don't like eating the foods, and you have no appetite, you have to take the foods, and gradually you recover. And it takes a long time. But the condition there is that one is repentant. In other words, one regrets what one has done and tries to rectify the situation in terms of attitude, etc. If one doesn't do that, then it is quite hopeless. And so that would depend on the strength of one's faith. If one still had some faith, then one would do that. If one didn't, then one's bhakti would be finished.
Is it right to place other spiritual obligations, spiritual personality, just because they're not practicing the bhakti, their day-to-day things?
Well, it is not the main duty of the Vaishnava simply to criticize everybody else. It is to glorify the Lord. Now, in the process of preaching, we may have to make certain statements or whatever about different groups or whatever, but the main idea is not simply to defeat others also. Simply defeating others is not the purpose of bhakti also. Therefore, the main emphasis should be upon the glorification of the Lord and the attraction to chanting, etc. Widow one has scriptural knowledge but doesn't practice. The gopis were elevated devotees and they had great, but they didn't study. Well, of course, the gopis are nitya siddha, so they don't have to study. One can have scriptural knowledge but doesn't practice, that means one's knowledge is not proper. One does not really understand. So we have knowledge, but we don't worship the Lord anyway because of that knowledge. It's not real knowledge because we don't accept it. So that means knowledge without faith. So that's not real knowledge. Well, if we, even if we don't realize that at least if we have faith, when we read the scriptures, we're willing to follow the instructions. Then we can develop. but we don't even want to follow, then that is, that means we don't have any faith.
Even by conjugal knowledge, we can turn up all the simple activities. Even by the conjugal knowledge,
well, you know, if we take that knowledge and we keep and that knowledge has the name of the Lord or whatever, somehow or other, it is enough to burn up sinful activities. It is not enough to create bhakti, though. So it can burn up your sinful reactions, but it cannot produce bhakti. I mean, if gradually, if one has complete exposure without offense, then it can. So namabhas, accidental, gradually, that agata sukriti turns into faith over many lifetimes.
So when you're standing at with Krishna at the time of death, you know, accidentally, you know, like, you know, when he had a heart attack while he was driving the car, and then he was chanting about calling the name of his wife, and the children reminded him to chant Hare Krishna. So he chanted Hare Krishna.
Okay, good.
Right?
Good
effect. Like the Godhead?
Not necessarily. just as in the case of Ajamil, he didn't go back to Godhead simply by chanting. He actually became pure after that, and then he performed bhakti and he achieved prema, then he went to the spiritual world.
He
said
that he can't
at least in next lifetime he will have an opportunity for more bhakti. If he has to achieve prema, then that doesn't mean that he cannot go to the spiritual world, unless some extraordinary mercy is there of the Lord.
We are in the midst of World Holy Name Day. Today we have a Nagasan Kirtan at the Shorinandu Temple. So in the next 10 minutes, we are